part two of the Doctrine of Operation Z. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a critical thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished into all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, it's part two of Operation Z. Part of our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to utilize the rebound technique to ensure the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, again, thank you for the privilege of keeping us alive, for all of your grace and all of the provisions that you have made for us in eternity past to move forward in your plan. In Christ's name, amen. We left off with the issue at point number 12, which was the concept, of course, of the categories. Doctrine is categorically stored in the human soul. And this should not be unusual because in endeavors of just human interaction, we have categories. So if you're a mechanic, you have different categories. You've got the category in your brain about brakes, about the carburetor, about the tires. And so you immediately go to that area when you have to. And the Bible, of course, has categories as well. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 lists some of these categories. The writer of Hebrews unknown. My speculation is Barnabas, but it's unknown. It was someone that everyone knew in the early church, and you can narrow it down to a few people based on that concept. But it's not important to know who wrote the Word of God. It's important to know the Word of God, because God, the Holy Spirit, without changing their personality, inspired them to write these things. So Hebrews 6, chapter 1 to 3 says, therefore, leaving, that's apiemi, which means to send forth, the elementary, and here the word arche should be translated as elementary or beginning or something in the origin. Teaching, that's our friend logos, and that means what is declared about. And here we have, of course, the 1, 2, 3, 4, something that I've added and should be in orange. So about one, the Christ. Let us press on to maturity, and that is teleotes, which means the state of the more intelligent. That's what you want to do. You got to go from a baby to a mature believer. And then it says, not laying again a foundation of. And of course, so we have the first concept here is the Christ. And included in that is not laying again a foundation of. So we've got the foundational stone, it's Christ. And we studied this doctrine under the doctrine of the cornerstone. He is the author and the one that is the originator of our salvation. And so this is a basic doctrine. Who is the Christ? The word Christ actually is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. And what was he anointed to do? Who is he? And of course, you would start all the way from the beginning. You could talk about the hypostatic union, the Son of God becoming a man. And that's the foundational element of who Christ is. And again, what did he do? So first of all, you talk about the person of Christ, which is the bread in the Eucharist. And then the work of Christ is the wine concept. So that's the basic category, the Christ. And then he says, not laying again the foundation of, number two, is repentance from dead nekros works ergon. So repentance means to change your mind. And that's a doctrine. Because what does dead works involve? Well, it involves human good. It involves all of religion. We haven't done religion yet. We've done the doctrine of human good and evil. But that's the concept that you're going to work your way to God for salvation by your good deeds. And these are called dead works. So to change your mind, repentance means to change your mind, metanoeo. You're changing your mind from the concept of dead works. And that's what you have to do. When you believe in Christ, you're changing your mind. You are repenting. And that's the word metanoeo, which simply means to change your mind. You're changing your mind about what? Well, what the world teaches, the spirit of the world, we studied that last hour, is what? Salvation by works. So you change your mind, you reject that, and we know that that's called dead works because it doesn't save you. So you change your mind. This is a very basic doctrine. Number three basic category of faith, that's the word pistis, toward God. And here you would talk about the concept of faith and how faith is utilized in three different ways. The word pistis, depending on how it's used, refers to salvation faith. Here's how you're saved. You believe that Christ died for your sins and you're saved. You repent from the dead works concept and you take the grace concept. You know all about the Christ. You know all about the repentance from dead works, and you say, okay, I'll take it. And that's salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. It also refers to the problem-solving device of faith rest. You claim a promise of God and move forward. It also just simply refers to Bible doctrine itself. The word faith means the body of information that is believed in the faith. So that's a very foundational doctrine, obviously. And then number four, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands. Now, this concept, of course, is rebound, which is another foundational thing. I mean, you've got to rebound. If you don't know rebound, you're not going anywhere in the Christian way of life. I mean, obviously, you're saved when you hear the gospel and the Holy Spirit takes the place of the human spirit, makes it understandable, and boom, you're saved. You've changed your mind to some degree because you're accepting the grace concept, and you say, I'll take it. And you have to know that this Christ, this person, died on the cross for your sins. And so these are all elementary principles for salvation. But now we're moving forward to the individual that's getting hot with things. And that's the instruction about washings and laying on of hands. Remember, this writer was speaking to a Jewish audience. And many of these Jews in Jerusalem were in apostasy up to their ears. Every time they went into the temple to conduct these ceremonies, they were blaspheming. Because Christ has already come. Paul himself was blaspheming when he went into the temple in 58 A.D. to make a vow because he wanted to get in good with the legalistic Christians in Jerusalem. So the washing refers to the rituals of purification things, of getting right with God. We know that John the Baptist, of course, did a baptism ritual, and that signified rebound. So the water signifies many things, but here the washings is associated with some people say it's baptism, but yeah, it's not baptism, it's rebound. I mean, this is rebound. Rebound's all in the Old Testament, and that's a foundational thing. How are you going to move forward if you don't understand rebound? You're not. So you would conclude it has to be in the basic doctrines. Where would it fit? Well, obviously it fits here, because the washings and the laying on of hands is identification of one thing with something else. You're identifying yourself with, of course, the work of Christ. That's how you can rebound. You're in union with Christ. When you sin, of course, you're out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and you're in a state of carnality. And so the laying on of hands also speaks of the identification process of one thing with another, and the instruction about washings. You're instructed about how to rebound. This is rebound. Number five is the resurrection, anastasis. Which means rising up from the dead. And here, the dead is nekros, which is just a general term for dead. And of course, you're going to teach them about the resurrection body. You will have a resurrection body. You're taught about Christ as the first fruits. He's the first one that's resurrected. And of course, we will have a resurrection body. And that's an entire doctrine on the resurrection, which we're going to get to. We're not doing all these doctrines right now. It would take me hours if I took time to go went through each one of these. But this is just general categories. I'm giving you a quick flyby here. And number six is eternal. And that word is ionos, which means without being and without end, beginning and end, judgment, krima. So what's the eternal judgment? Well, this is a doctrine. This is what's going to happen. Jesus Christ will sit on the great white throne judgment. I was reading some literature the other day, and this person thought the great white throne judgment was for believers. Boy, they're off the missing the mark. It's not for believers. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers. The great white throne judgment is for the unbeliever, Revelation chapter 20. But Christ will sit on both bemas, which is the judgment seat. He'll sit on the judgment seat for believers. That's the judgment seat of Christ is what it's called. And that'll occur for the church age during the tribulation at the rapture. And then there's the great white throne judgment at the end of history, where all the unbelievers will be judged. And so that's a basic doctrine. And then he says, and chi, which is a conjunction, this we will do. Who is we? Well, it's Barnabas and his traveling seminary team. One person that was with Barnabas that we know was, for a while, was Mark. because Mark went with Barnabas and Paul on a missionary journey. He chickened out and went back to Mama in Jerusalem. And on the next missionary journey, Mark rebounded, wanted to go again. Paul wouldn't take him. So Barnabas and Paul had a big Donnybrook, big shouting match. And Barnabas said, "You're not acting in grace. He's rebounded. He wants to go with us. I want him to come." Paul said, "He's not coming. He's failed once. I'm not having him again." And so Barnabas took Mark, and he went off one way, and Paul went off on the other way. He took Silas. Paul later recognized that he was wrong in that regard. So he says, "And this we will do," whoever this person is, he's training pastor teachers as well. Paul did it. Peter did it. That's what their number one mission was. "If God permits, epi trepo," which means to allow to happen, if God allows it to happen. So this writer of Hebrews gives us six categories of basic Bible doctrine. So when someone says, "Where do you get this category stuff?" Well, here's a passage right here. Well, how come there's not more passages in the Word of God? Word of God only needs to say it one time. They don't have to say it 15 times before it's, it's part of the Word of God. This is part of the Word of God. And these are categories. That's how they taught. They taught categories. Paul hinted at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "I can't give you advanced doctrine. I can only give you baby food, not solid food." So he's talking about categories of information. The next part where Bible doctrine goes is the conscience, Romans 9:1. It gives you new norms and standards in your conscience. Number F, it also helps to create this instant reaction force in the military we call an IRF. That's 1 Peter 3:15. This is red alert Bible doctrine. It's always ready to respond to the temptations. Does this seem to come out of left field? Boom, you're going along very well. You're in fellowship. Everything's going good. And then somebody in traffic cuts you off. Boom. There you go. You got it. Temptation to sin right away. And so you have the instant reaction force. Either you have to rebound if you do sin, but if you don't sin, your instant reaction force tells you how to deal with it. Being tempted to flip them off or curse them out is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. So the instant reaction force is Bible doctrine right up there that you always keep right up front. So in the military, when you advance the troops, you always have scouts out above to make sure the main body's not ambushed. So what's some of the IRF that you're going to have out there? You better have impersonal love out there all the time and a grace orientation to life all the time. A good sense of humor is part of the grace orientation to life. A personal sense of destiny can be out there. But the greatest, of course, of these problem-solving devices is impersonal love. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify, hagiazo," which means to set apart to God, Christ as Lord in your cardia, your hearts, always being ready. And that's hetoimos, which means prepare and ready. "To make a defense, apologia, to everyone who asks you to give an account, logos, for the hope, elpis, the confidence that is in you, yet with gentleness, proutes, mildness of disposition, and reverence, phobos, respect." So be tolerant of other believers, because at one time you were there too. You didn't know anything at one time, neither did I. So we're tolerant of these people. And this is the action, instant reaction force. So the hope, the elpis, is the confidence. Someone might say, "How do you think you're going to heaven with all the sins you do? I've seen you, and I know you commit sins." Yeah, okay, that's not a news flash. Let me tell you about how Christ solved that problem and how rebound is available to everyone. The issue is never you or me. The issue is always God. Number 13, emotion has nothing to do with Operation Z. Philippians 3:18-19, Romans 16:17-18, 2 Corinthians 6:11. And Revelation 2:23, we studied the doctrine of emotion before. The emotion cannot be your criteria. "I don't feel saved." Ever heard that one? Or did you ever feel that yourself? "I just don't feel saved. I feel miserable all the time." Well, so what? You are saved. If emotion is your criteria, you're going to have a lot of ups, a lot of downs. The higher you get with emotion, you're going to have a hangover once that emotion is gone. And most people have spiritual hangovers because they get all whooped up in some of these churches, hooting and hollering, singing and dancing and waving back and forth and hands flowing in the air and talking in tongues, even all sorts of weird stuff. And then they're sweating and just work up a big lather. And then when they leave, it's like, I used all that emotion. I got to go back and get another high because I got to have the filling of the Spirit. Well, the only Spirit they're going to be filled with is the alcohol that they might drink, because that's the only Spirit that's legitimate. It's all nonsense. These boys aren't filled with the Spirit. They're indwelt with the Spirit if they're a believer, but their God is their emotion. If they don't feel saved, well, the conclusion is I'm not saved. If I don't feel like I'm back in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, well, I'm not back in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you are. Emotion is an appreciator for the doctrine in your soul. If you don't have doctrine in your soul, you can't appreciate it. Emotion will also get you in deep, deep trouble. You should think, even as an unbeliever, don't let your emotion lead you around like a ring in your nose. Use your mentality to lead you around. Emotion is supposed to appreciate what's in the mentality. But if you don't have much in the mentality, obviously your emotion is going to be your criteria for life. Number 14, the Christian way of life is thinking Bible doctrine. Proverbs 23:7, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and Psalm 19:7. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we are destroying katherio, which means to demolish, speculations, logismos, which is means a reasoning, such as is hostile to the Christian faith. So we are destroying all these speculations and every lofty thing, hupsoma, elevated thing, raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought, nomia, that means a mental perception, captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, what does this really mean? You've seen this verse misused by people. What it really means is you're just thinking Bible doctrine. You're casting out, you're using that standard of norms, which is Bible doctrine. You hear erroneous information, you kick it right out of your brain. Somebody says you're saved by faith, by works. You just kick it right out. You know better. There's no room in your brain for that nonsense to even entertain the possibility. So you're taking these thoughts captive for Christ. Number 15, all epinosis is metabolized Bible doctrine. Catabolism. Epinosis breaks down the false thinking of the cosmic system as in Romans 12:2. So epinosis cast out the bad stuff. And then anabolism, which epinosis builds up divine thought, as in Romans 15:20. You're taking every thought and make it captive for Christ. You're putting in the mind of Christ in your brain and casting out the garbage, like repentance from dead works. Cast out the dead works. It's garbage. Romans 15:20, 1 Corinthians 3:11-13. All epinosis leads towards maturity. And of course, we've got the doctrine of suffering along the way, because you can't reach maturity without the epinosis being tested. It will be tested. We call this suffering for blessing. Number 15D, the analogy of the non-meritorious system of metabolism of epinosis is seen in eating, breathing, etc. Everybody can eat. Everybody can drink. Bad people, good people, tall people, short people, people with a high IQ, people with an IQ of room temperature. They all can eat. Joe Stalin can eat. Hillary Clinton can eat. Donald Trump can eat. Everybody can eat. It doesn't depend on the merit system at all. And so taking in Bible doctrine is not meritorious. Anybody can take it in. If you're a believer, you just rebound it, believe it, take it in. Psalm 119:11, Jeremiah 3:15, Jeremiah 15:16, Matthew 4:4, 1 Peter 2:2, 1 Peter 5:2, 1 Timothy 4:6. Point 16, the Greek word sophia, which means wisdom, is the application of Bible doctrine to reality and time. That person is very wise. Well, they're applying doctrine to reality to solve the problem. That's what wisdom is. James 1:5, James 1:22. And then point 17, the eight R's in the Christian way of life, our old friend. First of all, we have regeneration, which is salvation. And then we have these things in categories. Okay, so those in the tape world, I've just drawn on the board, eight R's. The first R is a big R, capital R, and then you've got plus sign, and then you've got a group of three tandems. And inside the parentheses of each of these three are two little R's. So little R plus little R, and then little r plus little r, little r plus little r. And then the equal sign is a big R for rewards. This is a general teaching tool. The first R at the far left stands for regeneration. You're not in the plan of God until you're born again. We call that regeneration. You receive the human spirit. That's salvation. And then you move on to the first group, and they're grouped in two. They go together, rebound and reception. Rebound, of course, is fundamental. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And reception is you've got to expose yourself to accurate Bible teaching. Reception, Psalm 119, 131, many other verses. It's your decision to learn Bible doctrine. And you might say to yourself, well, I want to learn Bible doctrine, but where can I go? If you're on positive signals, God the Holy Spirit has to, repeat, has to give you a pastor teacher. Otherwise, God's not fair, and that's blasphemy. So if you're on positive signals, you will get Bible doctrine. Now, God's timing is perfect. So don't say, well, I wish I would have had it sooner. We all wish that. But you didn't get it sooner. You got it now. And God will give you the time to reach maturity. So rebound, reception. And then you move on to the next grouping, which is repetition and retention. In order to retain that Bible doctrine in the instant reaction force and in the general categories of epinosis, you've got to hear it over and over and over again so you can't forget. And I make no apologies for repetition. We go over and over and over and stuff. And I know you've had this experience. Like someday you'll be driving down the road, and it'll finally, the cloud will open. And it'll finally, damn, I've heard that for like 15 times. How come I didn't get it the first time? That's just the way it is. And the sun will shine. Oh, it now falls into place. That's because of repetition. Now you have the retention where it's there. Now the rate of forgetting is always there. And the rate of learning must exceed the rate of forgetting. Or you will lose retention even. And then you go to the next set, which is deals with testing. Because between the second set and the third set, you're going to have testing. You're going to have testing by God, and He's going to test the Bible doctrine that you have retained in your soul / spirit. And then when you get the test, that's when this next tandem comes into play. The first is recall. First R is recall, and that's Sophia, which is wisdom, used to combat problems. So you're wise now. You recall the doctrine, and that's very wise. So the recall in tandem with the response is wisdom. Lamentations 3:21, Psalm 119:11. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have confidence. It's by the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed immediately. That's the King James Version. So he's recalling doctrine. He said, dude, if I get what I deserved, I should be consumed immediately. His mercies renew. His grace is wonderful, paraphrasing. And then, of course, to this test, you can now respond. That's the next R there. You recall it, you respond to the test. And you pass the test. Respond is actually using the problem-solving devices. Oh, Attica, what's the problem-solving devices? We'll come back. We're in the P's almost. We'll go into great detail about what they are. And then you have the rewards when you pass that test. Now, obviously, along this chain, things can break down at any point. You can just say, I'm not going to rebound. Boop. Not going to work too far. I'm not going to do repetition. I'm going to go to an idiot pastor teacher, one that's kind and nice person. They know rebound, but that's all they know. That's going to break down here. Or it could break down here, you don't recall it. You get the test and you go into panic palace and you push that panic button immediately. You don't recall the doctrine. Or if you do recall it, you don't respond to it to the test. So it can break down anywhere along this chain. And you actually get many rewards along here too as you march forward. But the big R is for the ultimate, the Jobs of the world, which God expects you to be a Job. He expects you to be one. He expects you to be a David. If they can do it, you can do it. Okay, and that is the doctrine of Operation Z. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying Operation Z. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge these things, make them a source of blessing and retention in our soul. In Christ's name, amen.